Thanks for tuning into this Control Risks podcast. I'm Julia Livick. Mexico is gearing up for a pivotal presidential election this Sunday, July 1st, amid shifting relations with its North American neighbors, as well as the rollout of broad economic and regulatory reforms, including the energy reform program of current President Enrique Peña Nieto, which has opened the Mexican economy to a wave of foreign investment. Meanwhile, Mexico continues to deal with long-standing challenges of systemic corruption and insecurity. Dialing in today is Eduardo Arcos, one of our lead political risk analysts covering Mexico. He's based in Control Risk's Mexico City office. Eduardo, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Julia.
So, Eduardo, current polls have leftist candidate Andrés Manuel López Obrador, commonly known as AMLO, leading the race in a landslide. Can you tell us a bit about AMLO and why he's expected to win?
Definitely. Well, Andrés Manuel López Obrador is a two-time presidential frontrunner. He ran in the 2006 election, losing by a very narrow margin to the eventual winner, Felipe Calderón. He ran again in 2012, losing to current president Enrique Peña Nieto. However, during this presidential campaign, he has enjoyed widespread support from the beginning, and he is regarded as the most popular politician in the country right now. There are many reasons for his rise in popularity and why this presidential campaign has been different for Andrés Manuel López Obrador. First of all, is that President Peña Nieto currently has record low approval ratings of roughly 20%. So the ruling Institutional Revolutionary Party, or the PRI, are broadly unpopular, and this has severely undermined their chances of retaining the presidency. Furthermore, the conservative National Action Party, PAN, has been immersed in internal disputes among the candidates that were vying to obtain the presidential candidacy, which ultimately went to Ricardo Anaya, a 39-year-old politician who is regarded as being widely ambitious and who is the most pro-business candidate in the presidential campaign. However, he has failed to stir support, as Mexicans still remember the administrations of the National Action Party from 2000 to 2006 and 2006 to 2012 with mixed results, particularly during the Calderón presidency, which resulted in widespread violence across the country. Therefore, AMLO truly represents the only change among establishment parties, and also, well, major corruption scandals have really shaken the political landscape, and this has truly benefited AMLO, who is regarded as being the only candidate that is capable of really curbing corruption and really the only presidential candidate that has not been immersed himself in a major corruption scandal.
So, Eduardo, I'm sitting in New York right now, and there's been a lot of fairly easy comparisons made here in the U.S. between Donald Trump and AMLO, and a lot of discussion about AMLO's popularity as a response to Trump's own brand of populist nationalism and to his policies and rhetoric towards Mexico. Could you talk a bit about that and about how Trump and U.S. relations more broadly might have impacted the campaign?
Certainly. And I think that it is very important to stress that although Trump has resulted in a very uncommon change in the geopolitical order in North America, which has certainly had implications for national politics, I think it is very important to stress that he has not been a determining factor so far in the presidential campaign, and that internal issues, mainly widespread perceptions of corruption, also widespread insecurity. Let's not forget that 2017 was the most violent year on record for Mexico. These factors have actually been much more influential during the presidential campaign than the effect of Donald Trump on Mexico. Yes, there is uncertainty about NAFTA negotiations. Yes, there is this more confrontational approach vis-a-vis the U.S., but at the same time, he hasn't been a determining factor during the campaign. And this has been exemplified by how the three main candidates have actually conducted their campaigns, focusing more on proposals that address the most pressing issues in the country rather than on directly launching a campaign against Donald Trump.
Okay, great. Thanks for clarifying that. So If we're looking at an AMLO presidency, AMLO is a leftist populist candidate. Obviously, his policies present a potential drastic shift from the current president, Peña Nieto, who had really worked to open Mexico to foreign investment. Obviously, this has investors and operators in Mexico a bit concerned, and there's even been talk and comparisons of AMLO turning Mexico into the next Venezuela. Are these concerns valid? I mean, what's going to be the real impact for key sectors in Mexico if AMLO wins?
Yes, well, I think that the claims that AMLO could turn Mexico into another Venezuela are unfounded. First of all, when you analyze the path that has taken Venezuela down that road, well, many things would be missing for AMLO to really achieve that, even if he were determined to implement such drastic policy changes. First of all, AMLO has always vowed to respect democracy. He has questioned democratic institutions in Mexico in the past, but this has been more because of allegations of fraud at the elections, which does happen in Mexico. But at the same time, he hasn't called to undermine democracy, and we do not expect him to implement a crackdown on Mexico's newly born democratic institutions, really, as democracy was only consolidated in this country in 2000. So that is one side of things. Now, on his economic agenda, there will definitely be a shift regarding the current economic path that Mexico has taken since 2000, really, which has rested on free markets, on increased liberalization, on increasing foreign direct investment in key sectors that were underdeveloped. And as you rightly said, well, Peña Nieto has achieved these landmark structural reforms that have opened the telecommunications sectors, the energy sectors, for the first time in Mexico. What we expect is AMLO to adopt a more inward-looking approach to the economy. He's going to implement policies that are going to be more focused on reducing poverty, for example, on expanding Mexico's internal market. Let's not forget that the potential for this is huge, as Mexico is an economy of 120 million people, but roughly 45% of Mexicans are in poor economic conditions. However, he's going to raise the scrutiny, for example, for contracts awarded on behalf of the government in particular. And this has been something that he has repeated throughout his campaign. Let's not forget that Mexico is one of the very few countries in Latin America that has fallen behind in terms of anti-corruption investigations regarding bribing scandals that have swept to the whole region. So, well, that is one thing he will raise scrutiny. And he would also, most likely in the energy sector, give preferential treatment to a state-owned company, Pemex, possibly at the expense of foreign companies that are willing to invest in Mexico. He has called to revitalize Pemex, to restructure Pemex so it can be more competitive. And at the beginning, when the energy reform was enacted in 2013, he was an outspoken critic of this reform. He has softened his stance ever since, but nonetheless, he still has a more nationalist approach to this. However, the chances of him canceling the energy reform are going to be low, particularly during his first years in office, as he is not expected to achieve a super majority in both houses of Congress, which is required for him to roll back the energy reform.
Thanks, Eduardo. Lastly, should we expect anything out of the ordinary on Sunday with regard to protests or violence? What's the feeling on the ground in Mexico City right now?
Well, in principle, I don't think we should expect any major protests during the day of the election itself. And largely, voters are going to simply just go to the booths, and we do not expect any major violent incidents to severely undermine the day of the election. However, and this we should stress, is that given the very wide lead that all the polls are giving to AMLO of around 20% over Ricardo Anaya, who is the the second placed candidate right now. If there is a result that really comes as a shock, such as a victory of Ricardo Anaya or a victory of José Antonio Meade of the ruling PRI, then we could expect bouts of civil unrest, particularly in AMLO's strongholds, such as Mexico City, such as the Gulf Coast state of Tabasco, and other areas in the country where he is overwhelmingly supported by the population. So any suspicion of major fraud could lead to civil unrest and sporadic clashes with the authorities. So we shouldn't completely rule that out. However, and this said, there are some very conflictive areas in the country, such as the states of Michoacán, such as the states of Guerrero and Veracruz, that might see some violent clashes during the election on behalf of criminal groups who have a stake on local municipal elections in particular, and who have infiltrated local municipal administrations and who would want to influence the eventual results, but not certainly at the federal level.
Well, we're certainly going to keep a close eye on this through the weekend, and we'll be checking back in with you on Monday following the result. Thanks a lot, Eduardo.
Thank you.
And thank you to you, our listeners, for tuning in. Stay up to date with our latest insights about Mexico and the rest of Latin America in this critical election year by visiting controlrisks.com/LATAMRisk2018. Thanks for listening.